This is The Guardian.
Today, the London Bridge hero, who could go to prison for 99 years.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Before we start, just a heads up, this episode features swearing and references to suicide. In November 2019, a young man, recently released from prison, turned up at a conference near London Bridge, with two knives taped to his wrists, wearing what looked like a suicide belt. The conference was a celebration of a prison rehabilitation program that had changed the lives of so many people, including, it was thought, this man with the knives who had been in prison on terrorist offences. But clearly, that had been wrong.
Good evening. Two people have died in what the Metropolitan Police are describing as a terrorist incident on London Bridge. The attacker was later shot dead.
The attacker got inside the conference and stabbed five people, killing two, Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones, but was unable to get to anyone else because people inside the conference fought back. You might remember the footage of men chasing the terrorist across London Bridge, one of them carrying a fire extinguisher, another a narwhal tusk, whatever they could get their hands on, thinking that at any moment the attacker might detonate what looked like a suicide belt, though they found out later it was a fake. One of those people was Mark Conway.
I remember that thing really scared. And I grew up being in pubs with people being shot, stabbed, like I've witnessed so much shit, like I never panic in them situations.
Mark was lauded as a hero, but he walked away from the bridge that day worried his bravery might land him back in prison, never knowing when he'd be released. It's a fear that he still lives with every moment of every day, because Mark belongs to a category of people in the UK who live under a special prison sentence, one that existed for about 9 years until a human rights court said, this is a travesty and needs to be scrapped.
When I'm in a pub and it kicks off, I walk out. Even if when it's got nothing to do with me, I don't get into fights and arguments no more, I just walk away. When I'm walking down the street and something, so there's arguments and stuff like that across the road, I second guess every movement that I make. If my probation officer saw me in this situation, what would it look like?
There are thousands of men in his position, out of jail, but for potentially their entire lives, liable to be sent back to prison for the most trivial offences, taking a Valium, turning up late to a parole hearing. That is life, under what's called an imprisonment for public protection sentence. IPPs have been compared to a form of torture. One judge called the sentences the greatest single stain on the UK's justice system. So why are so many people still subject to them? From The Guardian, I'm Michael Safi. Today in Focus, why it's time to end IPP sentences in the UK. Simon Hattonston, you're a features writer for The Guardian. You recently met with Mark Conway. What was he like?
Mark is a really interesting guy. I think I compared him to, you know, the kind of gangster you might really like in a gangster film, but you wouldn't necessarily want to cross.
I was born in 1980, started my criminal kind of lifestyle, if you want to call it that, 12, 13, 14 years old. So that was like the mid-90s.
You know, he did do quite a few bad things and he was involved in crime and he was involved in armed robbery.
So I never had a genre of crime. I was a jack of all trades and shit at them all. So I've been to prison for selling Class A drugs, for firearm offences, armed robbery.
Yeah.
So I used to carry a gun 24/7. So I would get into a fight in a pub and then just put it on someone.
And when did he then went on to serve a sentence. It's called an IPP sentence, which is imprisonment for public protection. And even though the sentences are appalling, he turned his life round. So he's now an amazing campaigner for fairness and justice in prison and against IPP.
Okay, so to understand his story, we have to get our heads around these IPP sentences. We covered them on Today in Focus 4 years ago, but let's do a quick recap. How do they work exactly?
So IPPs were introduced in the Criminal Justice Act in 2003, and they were first brought into practice in 2005. And it was the Labour government under Tony Blair, with David Blunkett as Home Secretary, who introduced them. And they were, in effect, a populist move. We tend to think of populism more about Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, but actually we forget that Blair's Labour government also did really populist things. And the populist thing in this case was to be seen to be tough on crime and tough on the causes of crime. And what IPPs were for were sentences that fell short of mandatory life, which would be murder. But they were effectively life sentences because you could be kept in jail for 99 years and your license on coming out could be 99 years.
Wow.
The other huge problem was that people could be recalled to prison for the tiniest things, the tiniest breach of license. So whereas other people are recalled to prison on the whole for committing another crime, when you're on an IPP sentence and you're on license, and remember this license can last 99 years, your whole life, if you do a tiny thing that breaches your license, you can be recalled.
Let me just make sure I understand this. This is a way of keeping the spectre of prison above people for potentially their entire lives, even though they haven't committed a crime that would attract a life sentence in prison.
Exactly, Mike. So the original intention was that it would be for really serious crimes. When Labour introduced it, they said not many people will serve it. At any one time, they expected around 900 people to be on it. And they expected, or they told us they expected, that these people would be serious criminals. The huge problem was that these were given for often really petty crimes, tiny crimes, ridiculously small crimes. It's kind of unbelievable. I mean, when I started finding out more about them, I'd be like, that can't be right. You can't be in prison for 17 years for nicking a mobile phone, for trying to nick a fag. And so I looked into it, as lots of people have looked into it, and thought, God, it is right. That is happening.
These are some of the thousands handed the worst punishment, life in prison, except they didn't commit the worst of crimes. Instead, they are stuck indefinitely, in some cases for stealing a mobile phone, or in Wayne Bell's case, stealing a bike at 17 years old. He was sentenced to 2 years, but served 12. He's
now detained. So, I mean, how did they come to be abolished?
So it started getting controversial about 2008 because they realised that it was people in prison for small crimes and there were loads more than 900. In the end, there were over 8,000 people who were given IPP sentences, and at its peak, there were more than 6,000 people in prison.
Wow.
So loads of human rights people started looking at them. And eventually the European Court of Human Rights said, this is a breach of human rights, keeping people in forever or on license forever for what's often a small crime.
So they were gone in 2012, but what did that mean for the, you know, some 6,000 to 8,000 people on IPPs at that time?
Well, this is the other screw up. So they abolished them, but they didn't abolish them retrospectively, which meant that they acknowledged that giving an IPP was a human rights abuse for people in the future, you know, too bad a sentence to hand down to anyone. Yet at the same time, they didn't do anything about the people serving them at the time.
Among the people who found themselves still serving these sentences even after they were abolished in 2012 was Mark Conway. Tell me about how he ended up on an IPP.
So Mark wasn't a petty criminal. He did really serious stuff. He was brought up by a 16-year-old mum. He didn't know his dad. He was a really good kid at school, and he'd actually initially wanted to be a police officer.
So I had the plastic hat and the plastic whistle and the little biddy club. Do you remember the little plastic things you used to get and you give kids?
And then he had a bad experience with the police. He comes from a very mixed family in terms of ethnicity. His dad was from Iran. His brothers and sisters are mixed African Caribbean, and they grew up in a very racist part of London.
There was a time when a big swastika was painted on our front door and we went to school and I didn't know what that was. And my mum said, oh, someone left us a gift or something like that. When I come back, it was gone. You just forget about it.
And one day he was out with his younger sisters and his mum and they were being verbally assaulted by the British National Party.
I was about 8 or 9. And you know, I was being abusive to my mum, spitting at her and saying all these nasty things. And I didn't know what was going on. Like, you don't really know. You don't really understand the words that was being used.
And a policeman walked along and he thought they were coming to rescue him and the family. And actually, he turned to the mother and said, that's what you get. I'm going to say this politely for having families with a black guy. It sounds astonishing now, but it's true.
And then I never trusted police since. So I think my problem with police and authority really came from that incident. I started hanging about on the estate with all the older lads.
So eventually Mark gets done for armed robbery, twice in fact, and ends up on one of these IPP sentences. And it's in prison, that most recent time, that something quite profound changes for Mark. Tell me about that.
Yeah, he was one of the lucky few who was able to get the therapy and the courses that they need to move on to less secure prisons and eventually to be released. And he was the luckiest of the lucky because he was put in a therapy prison called Grendon. And it transformed his life. It's a prison that works very much alongside the prisoners. It's a place where the prisoners have a say in running it, i.e. if you want to work, say, in the library there or in the kitchen there, it has to be voted on by fellow prisoners. If you want to have your a family visit, it has to be voted on. So it's very democratic while staying within the rules of a prison. But the other thing is that it really made him address his offences. And it made him realise, as he said to me, what a scumbag had been. Mm. So he was transformed in two levels. In one way, he learnt that what he'd done was horrific. And he did owe society. On another level, he realised that the IPP sentence he'd been given was incredibly unfair because it offered no hope.
So, Simon, Mark is eventually released. He's out on licence, meaning he could be recalled to prison at any time for the smallest thing. And in November 2019, he ends up at this rehabilitation workshop near London Bridge that's attacked by a terrorist. How does that play out?
It was a 5-year anniversary to celebrate this astonishing course he'd been on, and it was called Learning Together. And it was a course that brought together Cambridge students with prisoners, and they learnt together about criminology. Unfortunately, one of the people who'd been on the courses was this guy, Usman Khan, who was the terrorist. What happened was when he killed two people, he then ran out of the building with knives and what looked like a suicide belt, even though it turned out to be a fake later. And he was followed by people from the building, including two other prisoners and Mark. So he and the other prisoners and some other people heroically pulled down Usman Khan. They tried to disarm him, and then he was shot dead by the police. And Mark's initial thoughts after doing this heroic act was, Christ, am I going to be recalled to prison for this?
He was worried that as he was trying to disarm this terrorist, that there was a line, and if he went over the line, if he was too aggressive, potentially he could end up back in prison.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Because, you know, he stamped on Khan, he kicked him, and he was terrified that he would be recalled for being needlessly aggressive. So rather than phone his girlfriend or his mum to say, I've just been involved in this horrific event, I'm really struggling, I'm absolutely frantic, he phoned his probation officer and said to her, I've helped bring this guy down. I didn't do anything I shouldn't have done. Please, please believe me. I wasn't unnecessarily violent. I don't want to go back to prison. And she was really close to him, and she was a very good probation officer. And she said to him, Mark, what are you doing? Phone your mum, phone your girlfriend, take a breath. You won't go back to prison. But IPP incites that kind of terror because it is so easy to send people back to prison.
Simon, was Mark right to be so anxious, to fear being dragged back to prison over something like this?
Yeah, he was absolutely right to. You know, people are recalled to prison for far less. Being late for probation meetings, for showing anger. You know, what's horrific is that IPP creates mental health problems. Yeah, a lot of the people who were given them had mental health problems. If you didn't have, you were almost certain to come out. 90 people have taken their own lives on IPP. 90 people out of 8,000 who were initially sentenced to it. So, of course, you're going to get mental health problems. Now, if you're on license and you phone up an unsympathetic probation officer and say you've got mental health problems, you're struggling, that's the term, you're struggling, they will often, or they will sometimes recall you for that.
So being under this kind of regime causes mental health problems, but having mental health problems can be enough to be recalled to prison under this regime.
Yeah, it's bonkers. I mean, it is beyond Kafkaesque. And it's also a reason to not allow people out, to refuse parole, because you say your mental health isn't up to it. So we can't, you haven't proved to us that you are safe for the public.
What did Mark tell you about the mental toll that his IPP had had on him?
It was massive. I mean, think about Mark as you meet him, and he looks so strong and so confident and so relaxed within himself. And then you start talking to him and you realise he's a bag of nerves. And I think he's kind of got a double PTSD, because he's got PTSD from the attack and he's got PTSD from the sentence. So just before the terrorist attack, he'd been out having a cigarette because he was a bit nervous because he was due to make a speech. He wasn't used to making speeches then. And one of the people he was having a cigarette with was one of the Cambridge students, Saskia Jones. She was one of the people that Khan killed. And he thinks he may well have been the last person she was speaking to. The other person who was killed was Jack Merritt. And Jack was probably his closest friend from the course. They were real allies. They were friends. Whenever he went to Cambridge, they used to go out for a drink or they used to go out for a meal. They loved talking about stuff together, from justice to, you know, football, any old stuff. And I think he's still so traumatised by what happened on that day. So not only did he think he might be recalled to prison, he was trying to deal with the murder of two people he knew, one of whom he'd just been talking to, and one of whom was his great mentor, who had actually helped him get his job at the Prison Reform Trust. I mean, it was a massive, massive trauma and loss.
Coming up, everyone agrees this is a terrible law. So why are so many people still living under it?
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So in the system that currently exists, is there any way for someone like Mark to get out from under this IPP regime?
Well, the way at the moment is to, after 10 years, to have your license terminated. So even though you're on a 99-year license, after 10 years, which is a huge amount of time, you can have the license terminated. And there's something going through Parliament at the moment to try and change that to 5 or 3 years. Now, Mark is coming up to 5 years, so he should be able to have his licence either hugely relaxed or, if the new law goes through, terminated. The closer he gets to it, the more frightened he is, because he knows if one person says something bad about him, he doesn't have to commit a crime. One person can say he was aggressive and he can be back in jail. And he described it to me. He said, it's like walking on eggshells, but the eggshells are placed on landmines.
My anxiety is through the roof. I don't ever feel as paranoid as I do now. And everyone goes, why? You're doing so well. You're definitely going to get off here. And I was like, because I don't need to get this far and fashion out a life for myself and a job and everything that I'm doing just to get recalled on a say-so.
Yeah.
At any time, I could be recalled back to prison.
It's horrific. I mean, he said to me, when he left prison, he was super fit. They said that his blood pressure was great. His physical fitness was that of a man 10 years younger. He's 43 now. And he says now he's got really high blood pressure and has to take medication for it. It's because of the IPP sentence.
Okay, so this is complicated. Let me just try to understand it. The way the system works now, if you don't get recalled to prison in the decade after you're released under an IPP, you can have the IPP terminated. And under this bill working its way through Parliament, that time period would shrink from 10 years to 3 years, giving people under these sentences the chance to be free, really free, much sooner. In Mark's case, because he was released from prison more than 5 years ago, his IPP sentence would automatically, under the new bill, be terminated. So that's a window to freedom for him. But Simon, here's what I don't understand about this. If politicians seem to agree that these IPP sentences are a disaster, why are they just tinkering with them? Why not just get rid of them altogether?
That's a really good question, Mike, and lots of people are asking it. And hello, there might be a general election coming up soon. And with general elections, politicians become ever more timid, ever more cynical, ever more unwilling to do something that can be exploited or exposed by the right-wing media or by the opposition. And the Tories and Labour, they're terrified of being seen as soft on crime. They'll fiddle around with the licence, they'll reduce the licence, but won't go near resentencing. Resentencing would mean that anyone who's served their tariff, unless they'd committed another crime, like other criminals, would be released. If they've not completed their tariff, which is very unlikely now, seeing it's almost 12 years since it was abolished, then they would be resentenced for the crime they'd committed. Most people, including the Justice Select Committee, think resentencing was the way forward. So 12 years on from it being abolished and 20 years on from it being introduced by Labour, we've got the prospect of a new Labour government coming in, still being terrified about seeing to do the wrong thing on crime. And for me, it really disappoints me that someone like Keir Starmer, who was a really good lawyer, is a really good lawyer, was very good at the head of the CPS, isn't brave enough to say, come on, let's resentence.
Simon, this is such an appalling system that exists in England and Wales today. Have the politicians who put this system in place back in the 2000s ever reflected on how it's actually turned out in practice?
David Blunkett, who introduced it, has said that it's the greatest regret of his political career.
I don't blame anyone for this other than myself, because I should have been better prepared to lay down in legislation, in detail, precisely what should have happened. That didn't take place. A lot of lessons have been learnt, but above all, the lesson that having abolished the Act in 2012, we're still here 10 years on, having to mop up the consequences.
And it takes quite a big person to do that. It would be easier to stay quiet, but he, you know, he feels really guilty. And to his credit, he's spending a fair amount of time campaigning with groups like UNGRIP, which is probably the main campaign group fighting IPP, and letting people know what a shit show it is. Now he has to fight really hard within the Labour Party, if Labour gets into government, to encourage Starmer to resentence, because I don't believe there is a person in politics who understands as well as Keir Starmer how inhuman and how dangerous these sentences are.
When you spoke to Mark, what did he tell you about what the prospect of being freed from this IPP license would mean for him? What would that do for his life?
The most important thing is it would normalise his blood pressure. It would do everything.
What will it mean to you when your licence is terminated? I believe my health will improve. I really do. I think my blood pressure will drop. I think my anxiety...
He's technically a role model in the prison system. He is one of the few examples of someone who's been in prison and come out properly reformed. You know, he's on the Howard League for Penal Reform. He's got a job. He's campaigning. He's a serious person. Yet the sentence is destroying his mental health.
So I should hear any day now, like...
Literally any day, like signing the paper.
Like signing the paper to come off my supervision.
Jesus, I'm feeling intense.
I know, yeah.
So once he's cleared of that, I think he'll be able to breathe again. He'll be able to live again.
Simon, Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
And that was Simon Hattinston, a feature writer with The Guardian. Simon's done a whole series profiling people affected by IPP sentences. It's pretty incredible, and it's at theguardian.com. If you've been affected by what you've heard today, Samaritans are there for you any time of the day or night. It's free to call them on 116 123. That's 116 123. Or you can email them, Joe, that's J-O, at samaritans.org. And that is it for today. This episode was produced by Eli Block, Eva Krishiak, and Matt Murphy. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producer was Homa Khalili. And we're back with you tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.